From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is expounding the meaning of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. The implications of this commandment are far-reaching, extending from the family unit to the church and to every level of human authority. As Paul told the Roman Christians, there is no power or authority but of God. In the light of this, all men, especially Christians, are to submit themselves to those whom God has placed over them, whether they be parents, temporal rulers, or elders in the church. This obedience and respect begins in the home. Fathers are to reflect godlike attitudes and behavior toward their children, while mothers should embody the role of the church in their love and care for those in their charge. As we'll see, parents have the primary responsibility for instructing their children. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to listen to this brief selection from Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Faith Sees the Bow. The text is Genesis chapter 9 and verse 14. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Just now clouds are plentiful enough. But we are not afraid that the world will be destroyed by a deluge. We see the rainbow often enough to prevent our having any such fears. The covenant which the Lord made with Noah stands fast, and we have no doubts about it. Why then should we think that the clouds of trouble, which now darken our sky, will end in our destruction? Let us dismiss such groundless and dishonoring fears. Faith always sees the bow of covenant promise whenever sense sees the clouds of affliction. God has a bow with which he might shoot out his arrows of destruction, but see, it is turned upward. It is a bow without an arrow or a string. It is a bow of many colors, expressing joy and delight, and not a bow blood red with slaughter or black with anger. Let us be of good courage. Never does God so darken our sky as to leave his covenant without a witness. And even if he did, we would trust him, since he cannot change or lie or in any other way fail to keep his covenant of peace. Until the waters go over the earth again, we shall have no reason for doubting our God.
Oh,
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
been the tragic experience of every pastor who has had much to do with people at all, to find that there are young people whose hearts are hardened toward God and their lives are twisted and tormented, where the very idea of the fatherhood of God is obnoxious to them because their only contact with fatherhood has been a contact with a selfish, cruel tyranny. Didn't we look at this when we were studying about Martin Luther, talking about the Reformation? Martin Luther wanting to be saved, going into a monastery, yet hated the very thought of the fatherhood of God. Why? Because the only father he had ever known was a harsh and brutal taskmaster, and to him the word father meant such a thing. I tell you, every father here has got to remember that your fatherhood is to represent the fatherhood of God. And woe be to the man when his children stand before God the judge on the judgment day. Woe be to that man whose representation has been such a caricature of God as to make his children even hate the very name of God the Father. And mothers must reflect the role of the church. The church is the mother of us all, we have read. And the mother must reflect that role of care, of rule, with all the love of God. So there are duties for parents. I can sum them up in three things. Parents are first to instruct their children. Teaching is the primary duty of parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. This is just one of many texts that you could cite from the Word. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach them diligently. You remember what the Lord said of Abraham? I would to God he could say it of every father. He says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God looked down on Abraham and says, I know that man. Of course, he knows every man. God's not fooled by the color of your skin or the smile in your face or the culture that you wrap yourself in. He's not fooled by that. God knows every man. I wonder tonight when he looks at you, can he say, I know that man, that he will command his home, his children, his household. He will teach them. He will instruct them. Parents are meant to spend time teaching their children. Not just the mothers. Somehow or other we have reached this stage where we have also, or we have almost got a matriarchal society. Somehow or other we've reached the stage where it's the mother who gathers the children around. It's the mother who prays with the children. It's the mother who teaches the children the Bible. It's the mother who teaches them anything. It's the mother who does the schooling at home. It's the mother who does everything in the rearing and the teaching of the child. And I'm not for a moment wishing to denigrate or undervalue the input of godly mothers. Having had a godly mother is the last thing in the world I would want to do. I want to tell you, it doesn't say mothers teach your children. It's not just the mothers. Oh, they're not out of the picture. They're a vital part of it. But I can tell you, it's especially the fathers. And if your job makes it too difficult for you to spend time with your children, in God's name, change your job rather than damn your family. That's what it's saying. Teach your children. Spend time with them. Do you notice in this text there's a time when fathers and mothers and children can actually sit down and talk? You notice that? How many American homes is that true of? Let's not just talk about America. This is a huge place. How many homes in this congregation tonight is it true of? This is a school town. I came from a town in Northern Ireland that was known colloquially as Cowtown. So I've come from Cowtown to Culture Town. Shock was great, especially for you. You know, you can get so busy with the all-consuming demands of school, whether as a student or a teacher, that your family never sits down together, never has time together to talk about the Word of God and apply it to your lives. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I don't care if you tell me you're doing the work of God, I will tell you ultimately you will live to regret it. Time for parents to teach their children. And that instruction should be eminently biblical instruction. I think that it is not taught that the only thing God ever teaches or says is people should teach their children is the Bible. If that were so, then the Bible would never refer to subjects outside of itself as if people should know them. But every part of the teaching should be eminently biblical. That says that no parent should be content to see his children grow up, maybe with a PhD in whatever subject you want, but still to grow up to blaze a trail along the road to hell. Surely no wise parent could ever be satisfied with that. Remember what I read from 3 John verse 4? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's true not only of spiritual children, but of natural children. Can any parent have a greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth? We want our children to be educated. We want our children, and I'll have something to say about this, even to become cultured. We want our children to be fitted for jobs. We want our children to be able to take a place that is viable in this economic age in which we're living. All those things are legitimate. But the most important thing is to know that our children are walking in the truth. And I don't think it would give us, any one of us, any pleasure to stand over the coffin of one of our children and know that he had lived and died in sin and gone to hell and say, well, you know, he made a lot of money, he got a great job. So what? So what? Teach your children biblically. Of course, that means you yourself have got to submit to the biblical gospel. That means you yourself have got to know what it is to believe and to repent and to receive Christ and walk accordingly. For if you despise the truth of the gospel yourself, you certainly can't influence your children to honor it and receive it. In other words, to be the best parent, you should be a Christian parent, thoroughly dedicated unto Christ. Now, parents must take this task of educating their children seriously. That's not to say for one moment that education is exclusively the role of parents. There are some people who have taken the homeschool idea to a great extreme, as to say that the only people who have a right to teach are parents. Well, I think that's stretching the scripture way beyond anything that it was intended to teach. For instance, we find in the Old Testament not only parents, but the Levites had a God-given teaching role. So that instruction was not left only to parents. We find in the church, God has not left teaching and instruction only to parents. He has actually called pastor teachers to the place of instruction. Not only so, we find the Bible speaking of the schools of the prophets. So there were actual, if we could call them, colleges or seminaries. We read of Paul that as Saul of Tarsus, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. So very clearly in the scriptures, there's a place for schools, and there's a place for what we might even call Sunday schools, and there's a place for seminaries, as long as they don't become spiritual cemeteries. There is a place for them all. But parents are never to be mere onlookers. Nowadays, it's the state that claims the role of being the primary educator of children. And the results of that decision have been disastrous. As churches and parents, and you remember it used to be that it was the church that was the center of the local school. It was the church that set up the school. It was the church that set the curriculum. It was the church that administered the discipline. And family and church worked together. But somehow or other, with increasing socialization, church and family gave over the responsibility to the state. And the results have been disastrous. Because as churches and parents have abdicated responsibility to be fully involved in the development of their children, and have handed that task over to the state, what has happened? Families have disintegrated. And the state itself is suffering the consequences. Because no matter who's in government, and this is the grieving thing, when Christians get carried away with some political party or some political philosophy, doesn't matter who's in government, why the families of America are falling apart, America's falling apart. There's nothing can change that. Can't be done. God starts with the home. Remember what I said? Church and state were God-given extensions of the domestic arrangement, not the other way around. Results of the state as the primary educator have certainly been a tragedy. Parents to instruct their children.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.